Now, the Australian writer Charlotte Wood says that her top shelf shifts and changes according to her latest project. So which works of art helped Charlotte shape her 2016 Stella Prize-winning novel, The Natural Way of Things?
I get changed and reshaped by art, for different artworks every week. So it's impossible to choose, you know, particular ones. But there are quite a few that have recently thrilled me and inspired me, and especially in my thinking about this latest novel that I've written. The first one is The Lady and the Unicorn tapestries that I saw last year in Paris at the Musée Cluny. And I'd sort of vaguely known about these tapestries, you know, they're kind of red with this sort of long figure of a maiden with a unicorn on one side and a lion on the other. But when I saw these in the museum, I was just utterly transfixed, and I was totally unprepared for how overwhelmed I was by them. They're so mysterious and so secular when all this other medieval art around the place was very religious or military. And these are really feminine, intimate sort of scenes, and there are six tapestries, and there's still some sort of mystery surrounding where they came from and what they mean. Five of the tapestries relate to the five senses, so touch, smell, taste, hearing and sight. And there's always this maiden and the lion and the unicorn in them. But there's also all around them all these funny little, tiny little figures like rabbits and a monkey smelling flowers or birds. Anyway, they were just overwhelming. The colours are incredibly rich and deep, and the stitching is incredibly fine. And the sixth tapestry, the translation of the title of it is To My Only Desire. And nobody really knows, it seems, what exactly that means, but it is thought to be a tribute to love or to understanding. But anyway, when I saw them, I just sat in the room for as long as I could looking at them. And I ended up writing a few little fragments of them into my book. And the second piece that I want to talk about is a video art installation by the Russian art collective AES&F, and it's called The Feast of Trimalchio. And I want to talk about this for two reasons. Firstly, for the work itself, but also for the music in it, which is Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A major. I first saw it in a very dark circular cinema at the Biennale here in Sydney a few years ago, and it was incredibly weird and arresting and menacing. And the piece starts with this creepy sort of ballet of buses. It's going to sound very strange, but it's this this row of bright yellow buses trundling through a desert landscape, and the windows are tinted very black, and they just sort of move on and over everything, and you get the sense that if there was anything in their way, they would just drive right over the top of it. And at the same time as these buses are moving through this dry landscape, there's this incredibly majestic, layered music of the Beethoven, which in this context starts to have this really menacing sort of quality. And at a certain point, the music then turns very pastoral and pretty, but all the while this very menacing, creepy imagery is going along underneath it. And I found that piece really strangely inspiring. And I ended up writing a yellow bus into the book as well because of that. It was a sort of an institutional intruder into this wild sort of place. Another artist that I discovered and hung out with a lot in my head while I was writing this book is the American artist and sculptor Louise Bourgeois, and a series of works of hers called Cells, C-E-L-L-S. And these are a series of really threatening sort of spaces and rooms, or sometimes cages with sort of frightening looking metal beds in them. Sometimes in the cages they're hung with women's dresses, or these sort of creepy sort of operating tables with bits of bodies on them. Very disturbing. I found them very inspiring in helping me to hold my nerve while I was writing, because when you're working with very dark material, for me it was very, I kept thinking, why am I doing this? What am I doing? What is it saying about me? Blah, blah, blah. I'm getting into this kind of very anxious state. And then once I found these cages and rooms, I thought, I bet Louise Bourgeois didn't sit around going, oh, why am I doing this? And I thought, I'm probably completely wrong, but it was really helpful for me to think, Louise Bourgeois just made these wacky cages and hung uteruses in them and didn't sit around thinking, you know, what's the purpose of this? And I thought, every time I got scared of my material in my book, I just thought, no, I'm going to be Louise Bourgeois. I'm just going to make a weird cage and hang some creepy blobs in it. So it was very helpful. The last artist that I want to talk about is someone I just saw, and that is Sylvie Guillaume, the dancer. Part of my book is about wildness in women and women turning sort of animal and the experience of what that might be like. I don't know anything about dance, but I knew that she was the greatest dancer in the world. And when the chance came to see her farewell performance at the Opera House in Sydney, I grabbed it and I will never forget it. It was electric. I still feel really quite emotional about the privilege of having seen her dance in her farewell tour, and I've never seen her dance before. The first piece she did in this show was a work called Techno, choreographed by Akram Khan. And on the stage was this sort of lit-up sculptural tree, but it was all in darkness apart from the tree. And then the first sight of Sylvie Guillaume was this little scuttling creature, sort of skitching around the very, very darkest edges of the stage. And as soon as I saw her moving in this strange, otherworldly, creaturely sort of way, I just thought, she is a wild thing. And she moved her body in ways that seemed kind of beyond human, and at the same time it was so moving because it was so human. You know, she uses her simple human body in ways that create shapes and mood and emotion and thoughts that I've never had before. And I sort of had tears in my eyes as soon as I started to see her, and they just didn't stop. It was magnificent. And I thought, she is this wild creature who all her life, all her career as a dancer, has answered to nobody and answered to nothing but the call of her own artistic impulse. And now in quitting the dance world altogether, she's answering to the call of her own mind. And I just found that incredibly inspiring.
Charlotte Wood with her picks for Top Shelf, and her award-winning novel is called The Natural Way of Things. It's published by Allen and Unwin. And do keep an eye out for Charlotte's new book. It's called The Writer's Room, and it's a collection of Charlotte's conversations with other writers.